A un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick a Pod Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D. Subscribe and rate on iTunes. Search the Pick a Pop Podcast. That's Pick N Pop, no and. Pick N, the letter N, Pop Podcast. Hashtag it on Twitter. Hashtag Pick and Pop. SoundCloud. SoundCloud is still here for the time being. SoundCloud.com/shillfreesports is where you can find this show, past shows, and future shows for the time being. On SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, all the good stuff. More or less, if you can find a podcast out there, anywhere where you go to find podcasts, search Pick a Pop Podcast, and more than likely, this will pop up in your directory. So it's been a minute. It's been more than a minute. It's been over a month. And there's been a lot of little things that have gone on since the last time I've done the Pick a Pop. But what happened last night invigorated me to be like, all right, we're doing this. We're doing one tomorrow, no matter what, no matter how tired I am from doing two jobs, full disclosure, you know, work two jobs, two full-time jobs. So it's very hard to get time to do the Pick a Pop podcast, but I have been able to squeeze those in as the playoffs went on, and then even to the NBA offseason, and then into the draft, and then free agency. I was still trying to find time to squeeze in time to do a Pick a Pop. So over the past month and change, haven't had no time really. A lot of other things going on behind the scenes, a lot of future things that may be coming up here. So a lot of focus has been put on behind the scenes of trying to, a lot of things been happening to stop time from being made to do the Pick a Pop podcast. But with Kyrie, your man's Kyrie, 13 dribbles per possession, Kyrie, finally on the move from Cleveland to Boston. I said, no. I need to do a pod. You know, sometimes it's more of the people need it. Things go down. The point fraud got traded. People were texting me, hitting me up on Twitter. Again, at TheSamD, T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D on Twitter. Yo, what are your thoughts? Point fraud is on the move. Like, that's kind of what we've built here. It's a small cluster of people. We're building up the brand as it goes along. Probably doing a month between shows doesn't help that, but it is what it is for the moment. But certain things pique my interest where it's like, oh, no, I got to talk about this. So Kyrie being moved made me be like, all right, no matter what, I'm going to carve out time to do a pod. So we are here now. And Kyrie is going to Boston now. And Isaiah Thomas is going to Cleveland now. And the vaunted, the one thing that Danny Ainge would not give up, wouldn't give it up for Paul George, wouldn't give it up for Jimmy Butler, didn't want to give it up in any draft day deals with the 76ers. The one thing that he never wanted to move, seemingly never wanted to move, the Brooklyn Nets pick from 2018, this upcoming draft, he finally moved it. And he moved it for Kyrie. I mean, I know you got to give up something. But if I gave you a choice of Paul George, Jimmy Butler, or Kyrie, and said, one of these three you have to give up an unprotected Brooklyn Nets lottery pick for, I think Kyrie would have been third on that list for me. Kyrie would have been third on that list for me. I mean, you know how I feel about Jimmy Buckets. You know, and I thought, again, that piece wasn't going to put the Celtics over the Cavs. But I felt that would have been a more long-term piece and a better long-term piece than, you know, Kyrie or even Paul George. But even Paul George, that would have brought you closer to beating the Cavs than, you know, Kyrie. Because Kyrie doesn't scare the Cavs. Kyrie doesn't scare the Cavs. And why doesn't Kyrie scare the Cavs? Because Kyrie can't beat LeBron. Paul George has shown in the past, with a decent amount of talent around him, he can push LeBron to 7 games. Jimmy Butler with average talent, sometimes even below average talent around him, has shown that he can go toe-to-toe with LeBron's teams. Kyrie's not on that level. Look, Kyrie's flashy. The kicks are dope. He's got a brand established onto his own. But he's not in the same class as Jimmy Buckets and PG-13. He's not. So the fact that the Celtics and Danny Ainge didn't want to give up a pick, this vaunted, hallowed 2018 unprotected Brooklyn Nets lottery pick, the fact that he didn't want to give it up for Jimmy Buckets, didn't want to give it up for PG-13, but now all of a sudden, because people in Boston now are finally like, yo, when you gonna give up this pick, bruh? When are you gonna give up this pick? So now the pressure's on, and now he has to give up the pick for Kyrie. And yes, Kyrie has 2 years left on his deal. This gets Isaiah Thomas about the paint, and we'll talk about that and the ramifications of that in a bit. But when you look at this deal on the surface, you get Kyrie to Boston. Boston sends to Cleveland Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, rookie big man Ante Zizic, and then the Nets 2018 pick. So take Zizic out the mix. He's really irrelevant unless he becomes, you know, some sort of project that turns into being something. Right now, for the sake of the matter, is it was Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and the Nets 2018 pick. So that's the focus of the deal we're going to look on. So now for the Cavs, Kyrie up off the paint. Now you got Derrick Rose and Isaiah Thomas to replace Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie and Isaiah more or less is a wash offensively. They're both not great defensively. Obviously, Kyrie is bigger, so he's able to, at least on the surface, be more of a deterrent on defense to opposing point guards. But in actuality, they both are trash on D. So offensively, where Kyrie is more flashy, and at times, can be dominant, Isaiah is probably the more consistent overall scorer because he's had to be. So Isaiah and Kyrie is more or less a wash offensively, in my opinion, as of right now. Because this is peak Isaiah Thomas. He's not going to be better than what he is right now. Kyrie's still 25. Maybe he can get better. There's no guarantee in that. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're going to get better as you get older. Some people peak early. Some people peak in high school. I've seen it. Go look at Facebook. When you look at what Kyrie and now Isaiah being swapped with, if you're the Cavs now, let's look at the Cavs now. So now the Cavs will have LeBron, Kevin Love, Tristan, JR. And now, I'm assuming Isaiah starts. I don't think you... Well, here's the deal. And this is just off the cuff. If you're the Cavs, do you start Isaiah? Who's better to come off the bench, Derrick Rose or Isaiah? Obviously, Isaiah. He's done that role before. Granted, it was when he was in Sacramento early in his career. And when he was kind of floundering. But who's a better microwave Vinny Johnson type player? And again, for you youngins, Google Vinny Microwave Johnson. Or fine, to make it more updated. Who's more of a Jamal Crawford? That guy off the bench who just get buckets and nothing else. That's what Vinny Microwave Johnson was back in the day, and that's what Jamal Crawford is in this generation. So, is it more Derrick Rose or Isaiah? It's Isaiah, right? Easy. But does Isaiah's ego now, who's trying to get 30 M's a year next year? And that's another thing. That contract led to a lot of this. So it makes sense. Even though they are, on paper, contenders, Boston and Cleveland, even though technically we know as long as LeBron is there, that Celtics are really not. It makes it weird that two top contenders would do a switch like this with, on the paper, on the surface, superstar quality players. But you have Isaiah now, who went from a second-round pick, 60th overall, to now trying to get 30 M's a year next year. Is that guy going to want to come off the bench? And yeah, you signed Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose ain't a bench guy. Derrick Rose needs the ball and needs the minutes to get his thing off. Isaiah just needs the ball. He doesn't need a lot of minutes. We've seen him explode in fourth. I mean, they called him Mr. Fourth Quarter. Because he doesn't need a lot of time to go off. He just gets hot and then it just keeps rolling. So even though Isaiah's better suited coming off the bench, I think there's no way Cleveland can actually have him off the bench. But now you got to have D. Rose off the bench. And I don't know how good that makes your second unit. So that's going to be an issue. Ty Lue's got to figure that out. Or LeBron, essentially, has to figure that out. Because how do you do that? So now you add in Jay Crowder, who essentially replaces James Jones, who dipped. I mean, James Jones didn't play a lot, but in terms of the wing position that he plays, you now have Jay Crowder. You're not sure what's the deal with Richard Jefferson. And even if Richard Jefferson comes back or wants to come back, I'm not sure now that the Cavs have Jay Crowder, they would want Richard Jefferson back. I mean, Richard Jefferson was getting major minutes out here. I mean, they had Derrick Williams for the stretch run, but they didn't really play him a lot. They played Richard Jefferson over him. So, you know, Jay Crowder at this point is better than the two of them. So you have now Jay Crowder, who will be an integral part of the rotation. You know, some people calling him a star in the making. Slow down with Jay Crowder. Slow down. I mean, if you'd have told me back when I was covering the Big East tournament way back when Marquette had Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler, and Vanderbilt, who I thought had a chance to make the league, is still floundering. I think he just got a one-year guaranteed deal, I think, with the Lakers, with the Kings or somebody. Vanderbilt is still out here trying to make it. But that Marquette squad, with Crowder, Butler, Vanderbilt, if you'd have told me Jay Crowder would be the dude, like, I did not think NBA guy watching him. I thought hustle guy, works hard guy, you know, that type of stuff. Stuff that they reserve for guys who aren't as talented, which he wasn't. He wasn't as talented as Marquette. Yeah, Marquette. And I think his game is essentially the same. I can't see one thing that has gotten, like, drastically better that has put him in the position that he's in right now. He's still a solid, hard-working defender. He can knock down the open shot. I mean, his three to me is still a little sus. It was definitely sus at Marquette. It's still somewhat sus to me now. But he's improved somewhat on the offensive end with the open shot-making ability. So, Jay Crowder is a solid piece. He's a rotation guy. So now you take out Richard Jefferson. Jermaine Jones, gone. Now you have Jay Crowder. So now if you put... You can now, you know, okay, so now let's play this. Now, again, egos are involved. And I like this, because this is off the cuff, and I'm just letting my brain work a little bit as we're doing the Pick and Pop podcast. So, if you go Derrick Rose starting, you could go Crowder at the two, LeBron at the three, Love and Tristan, right? That's the five. Now, off the bench, you can have Isaiah and JR gunning off that bench. That would be fun. That would be fun. Isaiah and JR off the bench for the Cavs. Now, again, I think that's better suited because if you put Derrick Rose and JR off that bench, I'm not sure how that's going to look because Derrick Rose is not really trying to facilitate. He's going for his. Now, Isaiah's also going for his, but I think he's more of a willing passer than Derrick Rose. So I think Derrick Rose is going to play off the ball if he starts because, you know, LeBron's still going to have the ball, but he'll let D. Rose get his shine. But when he gives the ball to D. Rose, he knows D. Rose is going for his or throwing an alley. Whereas Isaiah might work better off the bench. That's going to be something I'm going to watch coming the little preseason, and the season starts earlier this year, October 17th. That's going to be something we need to watch. Who's going to start? What's the minute breakdown going to be between Rose and Isaiah? What happens to JR? What do you do with Jay Crowder? Because he could play the two or the three, and if you want to go really small, he could play the four. So there's a lot of lineup hybrid matchups you could play with if you're Ty Lue. But do you start Rose and Crowder and have Isaiah and JR off the bench? Which one would you roll with? Hit me up at TheSandy on Twitter. That's TheSand. Hashtag pick and pop. That would be interesting for me. Who could play better with LeBron for extended minutes? Which combo works better? Derrick Rose and JR? Derrick Rose and Crowder? Isaiah and JR? Isaiah Crowder? Interesting. So for Kyrie now goes to Boston. He wanted to be the man, right? He wanted to be the man. I don't know how he's going to be the man in San Antonio with Kawhi there. But he wanted to be the man. I mean, he wanted to be the man so bad, he was willing to go to the Knicks. If you're willing to be the man so bad that you're willing to go to the Knicks, that's pretty damn bad. But he goes to be the man in Boston. And what does that mean? What does that mean for that team? Being the man over Al Horford, is that a big deal? Not to me. I mean, what's left for Boston? Yeah, they got Gordon Hayward. Being the man over Gordon Hayward, does that mean anything? Not to me. So now, I mean, can we even call this a big three? I mean, we kind of did a stretch calling the Cavs big three a big three with Kyrie and Kevin Love with LeBron. Is this a big three? Is Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford a big three? Not to me. Is it even a big two? I mean, what type of scenario would you have to have where you're saying, I want to build my top two guys to be Kyrie and Gordon Hayward? Is there any scenario where you would say, if you give me a starting lineup and I could pick any two guys to roll with, give me Kyrie and Gordon Hayward? I don't think you would do that in 2K. I don't think you would do that in NBA Live. I don't think you would do that in the ESPN trade machine. I don't see any scenario where you would think, to build my championship contender, give me Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So what does this mean for Boston? I think it just means for Boston, they got Isaiah up out of there before they had to give him 30 M's a year. They didn't want to be pressured by the fan base and media falling in love with the Isaiah story. And it is a good story. And we know with the tragedy what happened with his sister during the playoffs and how that seemed to galvanize that team and got the city even more behind them. But Isaiah ain't worth 30 M's, man. The problem is somebody going to give it to him because somebody's going to have to sign him because somebody's going to have to make a splash. And Boston is smart for getting up out underneath having to be forced into giving anything close to, if not 30 M's, anywhere close to it for Isaiah. Because you don't want to do that. So now Kyrie's got 2 years to flourish in Boston. He's got 2 years to, quote, be the man. He's got 2 years to be the man on a playoff contender. Because fourth quarter, the ball's going to be in Kyrie's hands. Not going to Hayward. Not Al Horford. So 13 dribbles per possession. How they going to like that in the new Boston Garden? How they going to like that over in TD Bank? When it's the fourth quarter, and they used to miss their fourth quarter, Isaiah, blowing by dudes or just pulling up from three. It's going to be a little different with Kyrie. A lot different with Kyrie. It is going to be 13 dribbles per possession. 13 dribbles per shot attempt. It's going to be that. Waving off screens, waving off picks, waving off rubs, pin downs, waving it all off. Just straight up ISO. But now Boston is depending a lot on the youth. Boston's going to be depending a lot out here on not only Kyrie, because Kyrie's only 25, but Gordon Hayward's relatively young. And now they got the nucleus, the young nucleus of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Now they still have a Laker pick coming down the road, I believe in 2019. So he's still got that. And then they got Philly for a pick. For Philly to go up and get Fultz. So they still got a couple picks left. So there's still more dominoes that could fall here. I don't know if there's a big six that could drop. But there's more dominoes that could fall. Maybe a double three. Maybe a dub four. I don't know. But there's no more big six. That 2018 unprotected Nets pick was the Celtics' big six. And they used it. And they used it on Kyrie. But apparently, if you listen to the pundits, listen to the so-called experts, Cleveland wanted Jason Tatum or the 2018 Nets pick or the 2019 Lakers pick. And again, if you get Danny Ainge and you had to give up one, he somehow viewed that 2018 Nets pick as the least valuable. Which is weird to me because if that's the case, because that Laker pick is only protected for the top overall. If it goes from 2 to 5, if the Lakers pick 2 to 5, it goes to Boston. In 2018, in the summer of 2018, we're assuming LeBron's going to LA. If that team's going, if LeBron's going to LA, that pick's not going to be a lottery pick. So it's hard for me to imagine wanting to hang on to that pick and getting rid of the 2018 Nets pick when we assume, even though, you know, people in Brooklyn are starting to try to believe and drink the Kool-Aid that maybe the Nets aren't going to be horrible. Maybe the Nets can make the playoffs. D'Angelo building something. I don't know what they're smoking in Brooklyn. I mean, I kind of know what they're smoking in Brooklyn. I don't know what they're smoking in Brooklyn. Nets are not going to be a playoff team. So they're going to have a lottery pick. And now that pick is going to Cleveland. So I'm not sure if you had Jason Tatum, the 2018 Nets pick, and the 2019 Lakers pick from 2 to 5, essentially. I'm not sure why you would want to give up the 2018 and not Jason Tatum or the 2019 Laker pick. I mean, I would go 2019 Laker pick, Jason Tatum, and then hang on to that net pack. Like, that net pick to me was the holy grail. And if, like I said earlier, if you're not going to give it up for Jimmy Buckets, you're not going to give it up for PG-13, why would you give it up for Kyrie? But either way, they hang on to Tatum. They hang on to this 2019 pick. Maybe there's another deal coming where they could flip that 2019 pick for something. I don't know. But Ainge, you know, Ainge is going to Ainge. You know, getting back into the Cleveland perspective, we talked about how it works for this year for them, which essentially is LeBron James' last year in Cleveland. But what about after this year for Cleveland? What about 2019 for Cleveland? What does this trade do? So now, Isaiah's a free agent. LeBron's a free agent. If they both skate, all that cap space comes back, right? Now, granted, I don't know who would want to come to Cleveland with no LeBron. And you're sitting there and you're looking at Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson and JR, and that's it. I don't know what free agent would want to say, I want to go there. But essentially, they would have tons of cap space. And again, they would have the vaunted lottery pick from the Brooklyn Nets. So at least if LeBron and Isaiah skate, at least you got a youngin coming in that will be a lottery pick that you could build around if the, you know, the ping pong balls go the right way. And, you know, Cleveland has a penchant for getting number one overall picks. But if they could somehow get the ping pong balls to get them top three, top five, in a draft that looks to be, again, very deep with young prospects. I mean, imagine if they get, you know, Bagley. They somehow could get the top three or top overall pick, and they get Bagley, or they could try to get Zion. I mean, Cavs are business yet again. Dan Gilbert in business yet again. So, I think it's a better move for Cleveland, for now and for the future. I think it's an okay move for Boston because you don't now have to deal with being pressured to pay Isaiah Thomas 30 M's. Long term for Boston, I don't see this winning a championship. I don't see this doing anything in regards to making them a contender. Does this make them now the threat or the favorite in the East? No. Because of LeBron. LeBron's the favorite in the East as long as he's wearing 23 in Cleveland. You know, Toronto, Washington, Boston. Now, Boston's clearly number two. I mean, they were before with Washington kind of nipping on their heels and Toronto trying to figure things out. But now it's clear. I think Boston is clearly better than Washington at the moment. Now, if John Wall plays like gang sign John Wall the entire season, that may be something we need to revisit. And we'll get into gang sign John Wall and the greatness that is the best player in the history of basketball, not named Michael Jordan. We'll get into that later in the pod. But the Wizards, as it stands right now, are clearly the number three team in the East, with Toronto right there at number four. So for Boston, does this move to me make them a contender? No. Does this move to me make them a threat, if not this year, next year, if LeBron skates? No. So, you know, essentially it's just them saying, we don't want to pay Isaiah. What do we got to do to not pay Isaiah? Sure, we'll take Kyrie to not have to pay Isaiah. And if we got to come off one of our vaunted picks, then yeah, we'll do that to have to not pay Isaiah. You know, with Boston breaking down and getting Avery Bradley up out of there and getting Marcus Morris, that's something where now the rotation for them is a little wonky, because what do you do? I mean, obviously Hayward is starting, but is he starting two? Is he starting three? So now I got Kyrie. So now are you going to do Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris? No. So, wait, does that mean Marcus Smart is starting? Jaylen Brown going to start? Who's the two in Boston? Let's figure out this lineup. I like playing let's figure out the lineup. Let's figure out the lineup. Kyrie at the one. Who's the two? You got either Hayward, Jaylen Brown, or Marcus Smart. Now, Hayward's a three. They could play him at the two if they wanted to, but that means you got to either start Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart. So let's say they go Kyrie, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward. Who's the four now? Do they go small? Put Harford at the five and then put Jaylen Brown at the four? What's boy genius Brad Stevens going to do? That's not a good lineup. That's not a good lineup, man. That's not a really good lineup. Are they going to start Marcus Morris? Is he going to be the four? Do you go Kyrie, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, and then Al Horford? Does that scare anybody? Does that even scare Washington? I don't even think Washington's scared of that. I don't even think Toronto's scared of that. Cleveland damn sure ain't scared of that. What are you doing? I don't understand that. So we're going to go Kyrie, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, Al Horford. You think you have Tatum and Jaylen Brown off the bench. Man, that's rough. That is rough. I mean, you can sell me on the boy genius all you want. You can sell me on, you know, Danny Ainge and waving the magic wand and getting all these picks. That's rough, man. When you potentially could have had Jimmy Buckets or PG-13 for substantially less than that. You could have held on to Avery Bradley. Now, if you'd have told me, okay, which lineup is better now? That lineup of Kyrie, man, that's not a good lineup, man. Kyrie, Hayward at the 3, Marcus Smart at the 2, Marcus Morris at the 4, and Al Horford at the 5, or Isaiah at the 1, Avery Bradley at the 2, Jimmy Buckets at the 3. They probably would have had to give up Jay Crowder to get Jimmy Buckets, so they probably would have had to hang on. I don't know who they would play at the 4. Maybe you slide Jaylen Brown in. Maybe you go super small with Jaylen Brown and then Horford at the 5. I think I would kind of want the Jimmy Butler lineup. Or even if you take out Jimmy Butler and put in Paul George, I think I'd want that lineup. Then Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is just not... Now, what are you thinking if you're Gordon Hayward? Like, he was the man. Even though Isaiah is the man in terms of playing in Boston as originally constituted when Gordon signed, even though he was technically the man by default, Gordon Hayward was going to be the man. And now, with one trade, he ain't the man no more. Gordon Hayward may be the people's champ, especially in Boston, for reasons that are obvious. But Kyrie's the man. On that team. When that team goes out there on the floor and they need a leader, they're not looking at Gordon Hayward. They're going to be looking at Kyrie. So you sign for all them M's after being the man in Utah. And you want to be the man in Boston, be the savior, for reasons that are obvious. Where the fans implored you to come to Boston. Boo Jay Crowder. Because Jay Crowder doesn't look like Gordon Hayward. And then you come and become the savior. Surely only because of your relationship with your college coach, Brett Stevens. No other reason besides the M's and the fan base clamoring for a certain type of superstar. That had nothing to do with it. Sure. So you come to Boston, become the man. And then like a month or two later, they go drop Kyrie in your lap and say, good luck playing with this for 2 years. We're going to give you all these M's still, but you got to deal with 13 dribbles per possession, per shot attempt. Kyrie Irving, good luck getting your shots. How does it feel to be Gordon Hayward? Check's still clearing though, so it can't be too bad. So we'll move off the Kyrie thing. Lakers Pacers. Man, how petty are the Pacers? How petty are the Indianapolis, Indiana Pacers? How petty are they? They got the lead to investigate the Lakers and tampering with Paul George, even though Paul George plays in Oklahoma. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. How are you going to charge a team with tampering when you traded that player to another team? Paul George grew up in L.A. Grew up in L.A. at a time where it was Kobe and Shaq and that Laker dynasty going on. Paul George is a Laker fan. Paul George is a free agent. And him and his agent let it be known to the Pacers that he's not going to return. And he's probably looking to sign with the Lakers. Is it all because the Lakers welcome the thought of Paul George wanting to play with the Lakers? And especially Magic, who Paul George is good friends with, because again, he's a Laker fan. He's from LA. He's cool with Kobe, because he's a Lakers fan. He grew up in LA. And the Pacers are so petty that because your man's Magic goes on Jimmy Kimmel and does a bit about what tampering is and what tampering isn't, that now they're filing charges. This is the most dumb thing. This is the most biggest waste of time that the league is going to do. They're not going to find anything unless somebody in the Lakers organization is really dumb. They're not going to find anything. Paul George is now in Oklahoma, so this point should be null and void. I don't understand how you can, you know, if the league needs to investigate something, they need to investigate how the Pacers could only get Victor Oladipo for Paul George. That needs to be investigated. You traded your franchise player for a bust draft pick, but you're mad at the Lakers. You traded a top 10, top 5 two-way player in the league, and you got back a bust who couldn't play with Russell Westbrook, was a bum in Orlando. You traded for that guy on a horrible contract nonetheless for your franchise player, but you mad at Magic and Rob Pelinka. You mad. You petty. You petty, Scott Pritchard. You petty. Pacers took a lot of L's. You know, the Pacers were all set to run up against the Heat. They were all set when he had David West, Roy Hibbert, Baby Braun, PG-13, George Hill. Remember they did that photo shoot where they were like all oiled up and trying to look tough but fashion chic. Ever since that photo shoot came out and Twitter went in, nothing was ever the same for the Indiana Pacers. Nothing was ever the same. Roy Hibbert is damn near off the league. David West got a ring and is now just running around the league doing victory laps. Paul George is now walking through the Oklahoma City airport being treated like a god. George Hill went to Utah and then got banished from Utah. And Baby Braun has no job. All within a span of about 3 to 4 years. Ever since that photo shoot that the Pacers did, nothing was ever the same. So a couple quick things before we wrap up on this latest edition of the Pick a Pop podcast. And I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. Hashtag Pick a Pop on Twitter. SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports for now. Google Play and Stitcher Radio. Search Pick a Pop podcast. Pick and Pop podcast. So Blake Griffin. And yes, I said his name because it just doesn't mean that much to say Kia Jump anymore. He's not even on that level to call him Kia Jumper, but I will, for the remainder of this segment, go to the name Kia Jumper. So the Kia Jumper made some waves and said LeBron's not coming to LA. He doesn't think he's coming to play with the Lakers. He said he thinks LeBron and the Banana Boy crew, the Banana Boat crew, you know, Wade, Gabby, Carmelo Anthony, Point Frog. I'm going to be playing with the Knicks. He says he thinks they're going to the Knicks. Imagine that, the Banana Boat crew at the Garden. Can you imagine Spike and Gabby? Lala, maybe. All day in the front row. Wouldn't that be something for Knicks fans? The Banana Boat crew. How that's going to work, I don't know. And what stage of careers you're going to get the Banana Boat crew, I'm not sure. But if I told you get a 38-year-old LeBron, let's say he goes to LA and rocks out for a few more years, gets maybe another chip, maybe a second. And then towards the end, he's like, all right, victory lap. We're going to go to New York. The whole squad, get the whole game together. We're going to go to New York. Absolutely amazing. I'll be here for it. I'd be there for it. I'd be at the Garden for it. I'd want to see that. I wouldn't buy season tickets, but I'd pop in for definitely a little mini ticket package. Give me a little 10 game package. I'd sign up for that. LeBron, D-Wade, the Fraud, and Melo. I'd be here for it. But the Kia jumper, throwing that out there, now obviously you would make the obvious connection. Well, the Kia jumper played with the point fraud, so maybe he knows something. They didn't get along. So I don't know what he would know. I don't know what info he would have that would like be believable. Do any of y'all trust the Kia jumper? Do any of y'all put any sort of credibility in what the Kia jumper is saying? This is the same guy who fake acted like he was not throwing water on a fan in the front row. Y'all remember that? Well, I believe it was during the playoff series. I think it was during the playoff series. Where during a timeout, he had like he was looking at a replay of a foul that he was called on, and he had like he was drinking a cup of water, and there was some loud fans right behind him on the front row, and he kind of tossed the cup behind him and like throwing his hands up, looking at the video screen, but he made sure he took a quick peek right before he did so to make sure that the dude he wanted to hit was in line. And then the dude, after he got splashed, realized Blake Griffin really just blatantly threw water on me in a passive-aggressive way, and he could do nothing about it. Is that the guy you trust? I don't trust a kid jumper. I think it's nice in theory. I think it's nice and cute to imagine the Banana Boat Crew playing in the garden, but I just don't see it happening. What I would want to see is a Banana Boat Crew. See, the problem with the Banana Boat Crew is that it's always going to be led by LeBron. And LeBron's the best player in the NBA today. Now, the key word in that sentence is NBA. LeBron James is the best player in the NBA today. Who do I think is the best basketball player in the world? I mean, it's not LeBron James. I'm here to tell you that. It's not LeBron James. I know that's hard to believe because I've been a champion. I'm saying LeBron's the best. Even when people try to throw Steph's name out there and say Steph's better than LeBron, I shot them all down. Shot them all down. When you try to throw Steph out here, when he won those back-to-back unanimous MVPs, well, back-to-back MVPs, with the second one being unanimous, in the same season, that reminder, they won 73 games and they blew a 3-1 lead. Still funny. I was here to stomp that down. They threw Steph, I threw it back. No, still LeBron. Now KD, coming off his chip. Now people say, well, maybe KD is the best player in the NBA. Nope. Throwing it back. Nope. Still LeBron. Best basketball player in the world, though. Best basketball player in the world, though. There's only one. There can only be one. And he knows LeBron very well. He has been dominant. He has been flawless. The handles, the jimmy, the tenacity, the work ethic, the swag, and the popularity. There's only one best basketball player in the world. You want to know who that is? You want to know who's the best basketball player in the world? It's Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello is the GOAT right now. I don't give a damn what any of y'all say. Name me a better basketball player than Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello has owned the summer. Owned the summer. There's nothing that Hoodie Mello can't do. He throws alleys. He blocks shots. He pulls up from three in transition, wet. Step backs on the baseline, cash. Drop step, running sky hooks. Off the right post. Money. There's not a flaw in this game. 2K tried to rate him as a 98. That's selling Hoodie Mello short. Huddy Mello is not even a 99. He's 100. We need to break that barrier and make somebody 100. The notion of 99 being that there's no perfect basketball player, damn that. There is only one, and it's Huddy Mello. And the league is dropping the ball, but not getting behind Huddy Mello. He's been putting in work all summer long. These leagues like to show their stars putting in that work. They love to show you vignettes of guys working out, bench pressing, getting up 1,000 free throws a day. You want to? They love to tell you those stories, to show you those videos of guys putting in work. Why are they not getting behind these Huddy Mello workouts? These Huddy Mello workouts are the greatest thing that's happened to this summer. Greatest thing. I'm telling you right now, that running skyhook drop step, I need to see that for 82 games. And I also need to see Carmelo be Huddy Mello all season long. We get Huddy Mello for 82 games. Knicks can challenge for the Eastern Conference title. And I'm saying that with a straight face. No smirk, no smile. Huddy Mello with an official licensed Nike Huddy Mello jersey. With the hood. We get 82 games of Huddy Mello. Knicks are in contention with the Cavs. Damn the Celtics. And go to Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Damn that. Huddy Mello and a Latvian world star, they can run with the Warriors. Yeah, I said it. But it's got to be Huddy Mello. Not Carmelo Mello. Not my man, my Mello Carmelo. Huddy Mello. You know, I know Jerry West came out here and said everybody's playing second place because the Warriors are that much better, and that's fine, and that may be accurate to a certain extent. But two things. Number one, stating the obvious, shouldn't be creating headlines. We know everybody's playing for second place. We already know that. We knew that the minute Kevin Durant signed last July. It's not a headline. Shouldn't be creating waves and making guys have takes. Secondly, I think it's time to retire the Jerry West logo. And I won't get into what Dwight Howard wanted to make the NBA logo once upon a time. But the new NBA logo should be a silhouette of Huddy Mello. So that's two things the league needs to do. Give Huddy Mello his own jersey with the hoodie. So Carmelo can channel Huddy Mello for 82 games. And change the NBA logo from Jerry West to a silhouette of the running skyhook off the right baseline of the greatest basketball player in the world, Huddy Mello. And that will do it for the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. Hashtag Pick and Pop. SoundCloud.com/ShillFreeSports. So you can find the show on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Search Pick and Pop Podcast, Pick and Pop. Do the whole thing, subscribe and rate, iTunes, all that good stuff. Shout out to May 1st Music. He did the intro and outro, which you're listening to underneath right now. Shout out to him. Check his music out and his talents out on SoundCloud.com/May1st Music. Glad to get back in the mix doing shows. Looking forward to doing more shows. Things will be opening up here over the next couple of weeks, so you will be getting more content from me. So be on the lookout at TheSamD on Twitter. Keep up with me there. I'll holla.